There goes the runner, Flaherty. The pitch hit deep to left field, down the line, hugging the line. It's hooking. It is gone. A two-run home run for Nolan Reimold, who in a second straight game has hit a home run in the ninth inning. And the Orioles go out in front 6-4.
There was the big blow after the first big blow, which came an inning earlier when Wilson Betemeade, after it kind of looked like Casey Jansen might have struck him out, Betemeade takes the next pitch deep to right field, ties the game. Then Nolan Reimold does that, a ninth inning home run for the second straight game. And the Baltimore Orioles come back to beat the Blue Jays 6-4. The Orioles have taken the first two of this series, despite the fact that the Blue Jays have gone into the eighth inning of each of those two games with the lead. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. And we're taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Also keeping an eye on the Twitter feed at Wilderness590. Let's get right to the calls. Frank is in Toronto. Frank, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. I just wanted to say that I was in favor. Well, not in favor, but I agree with the aggressive play of Brett Laurie to try to steal home. And I think when you play aggressive, you are more prone to make mistakes. But I'd rather see players play aggressive and take chances. And I think that's the only way that they got their four wins so far this season, by playing aggressive. So if you live by the sword, I think you die by the sword. And it didn't work today, but I think I prefer the aggressive play.
I don't know if that is how they got their four wins to this point, being like that. You know what? I don't have a definitive opinion of the attempted steal by Brett Laurie in the second inning. As it turns out, in hindsight, absolutely the wrong move, because the Jays had Jason Hamill on the ropes and he was able to recover after that and pitch another three innings. And they could have opened up a huge lead had that inning been allowed to continue. But then Jose Bautista was down 0-2, and the odds of that at bat turning into something good at that point, even with Bautista there, wasn't good.
What I'm trying to say is I think you take a chance when you play aggressively and you play to steal bases and stuff like that. And I don't think it's going to always work out. And maybe Brett Laurie made a bad judgment call. But I'd rather, I think over the season, I think those plays are going to work out better for the team than the other way around.
Yeah, I gotcha. I appreciate the call, Frank. The thing is, the straight steal of home is just about the lowest percentage play that there is in baseball. Now, granted, 0-2, and he got a terrific jump off of Hamill. There's no question about that. The fact that it was bang-bang at the plate speaks to that. That low percentage of play wound up being that close. Laurie had a terrific jump. But Jose Bautista's at the plate. But it was 0-2, and there were two out. I mean, the Twitter reaction was that it was the dumbest thing that Brett Laurie's ever done in his career. I'm certainly not going to go that far. And I'm still kind of on the fence about it. I do know that if it had worked, this place would have gone nuts. And that would have been a heck of a shot in the arm, and it was awfully close to working. And again, the fact that the count was 0-2 is very, very meaningful in this situation. And you're dealing with a Jose Bautista who, despite the fact that he is Jose Bautista, is struggling mightily at the plate. Daniel is in New York. Hello, Daniel.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
All right, thank you. Go ahead.
So I wanted to comment on the same thing. And I know Bautista, he's looking really bad at the plate. I mean, getting fooled on curveballs and ducking out. There was a called strike where he ducked out of the plate today.
Yes.
But isn't it a little disrespectful that the new kid on the block takes the bat out of the hand with the bases loaded, with the franchise player up, even if he's running bad?
There's something to that. There's definitely something to that, and Alan Ashby brought that up. Also, is this Brett Laurie telling Jose Bautista, I don't think you can drive this run in? Or is Bautista going to see it as Laurie saying to him, I don't think you can drive this run in? I would hope that's not the case. I certainly don't think that it was Laurie It was a lack of faith in Bautista that made Lurie try to steal this base. I think that it was more, I've been timing this guy. He's really not paying attention to me. I think I can get this. And I hope it doesn't get to that. And I'm sure that the conversation will be had if Bautista has something to say to Lurie. He's not going to be shy about saying it. But again, I hope that that's not the case. And I don't think that that got into Lurie's head. I don't think for a second he thought, Bautista's not going to be able to drive this run in. I got to do it myself.
On a side note, a quick shout out to Rasmus for breaking up that that double play with the spike in the I guess it was in the fourth or fifth inning after Baltimore did the same thing early on.
Second inning, big slide by Colby.
Yeah,
Rasmus.
That was great, and he came cleats up to show them that he's not messing around. So that was pretty good.
He saw what they did in the first inning. There's no question about that. Thanks for the call, Daniel. And three hits for Colby Rasmus tonight. Stolen base, couple of RBIs, all for naught as it turns out as the Jays fall 6-4. To the Baltimore Orioles. Let's not mess around. We've heard from John Farrell, the skipper. He addressed the Brett Lurie stolen base. He talked about the decision to keep Evan Crawford as well. So let's listen in. Here's what John Farrell had to say after the game.
Once again, tough finish to what was shaping up to be a pretty solid game on our part, with the exception of one major base running error. Henderson did an excellent job once again, seven solid innings, the three runs allowed. It took him an inning or two to kind of get into the flow of things, but once he settled down, much like we've seen, puts the ball on the ground, pitches the contact, did a very good job. I think we continue to swing the bat with some consistency. It's good to see Colby get in the mix a little bit more as well. Brett, a couple of hits today, Jose, another knock. So offensively, things are starting to come alive a little bit, and yet, late in the game, Wilson Bedemitt's right in the middle of it with the home run today. But tough team to put away. They're playing very well right now.
John, what was with Lurie Steele? What was going on there? What was the thinking?
I had to ask the same question. Yeah, he did. Aggressive, yes. Probably not the best decision to make at that time, particularly who was at the plate. We were in an extended inning with Hamill, and he felt like he had some timing, felt like he had good timing on the count, not the count of the hitter, but the timing in terms of the beginning of his delivery to the point of releasing the baseball, felt like he could steal a bag, which, shut down a potential big inning.
I know some guys you give green lights to on the bases. Is Lurie one of those guys that you give him the benefit of doubt with the green light?
He has the green light, but the awareness to the situation has got to be a little bit more keen.
John, three more home runs today. Is it just, again, a matter of the way the ball's been flying out of here, or is there something that you're seeing some of your pitchers getting pitches up right now?
Well, we've made some pitches on the plate. The cutter to Bedemitt from Casey didn't quite get the finish on a 3-2 pitch where, typically he's looking to get a ball in tight, and it stayed on the inner third. The slider from Coco, stayed in the middle of the plate. And Reimold is a good bad breaking ball hitter, evident by the swing. That home run, that lineup has got power in it top to bottom. And if you don't make quality pitches, that's what can happen. There's no doubt that the ball is carrying in here exceptionally well right now, but that's not to take anything away from their power.
They have power, and they've made the Blue Jays pay with three home runs in each of the two games so far in this series. That's John Farrell. So Farrell not defending Brett Lurie's decision to try to steal that base. Said it took him out of a big inning. His awareness to the situation has got to be a little more keen. And to the question, what was he thinking, Farrell said, I had to ask the same thing myself. But as he went on to explain, it looked like Lurie felt as though he had him timed and thought he was going to be able to steal home. And it is kind of amazing that someone actually thinks they're going to be able to steal home with that kind of confidence to be able to make a move like that in that situation. And that's going to stand Brett Lurie in good stead for the rest of his career, even though it certainly didn't today. Though the Blue Jays, again, still took the lead into the eighth inning. Could have been a much bigger lead had that second inning continued to unravel on Jason Hamill. We'll take a quick look at the scoreboard. And again, more Extendo Jays talk on the other side. 6-4 Baltimore. It's the Honda Postgame Show on the Blue Jays Radio Network. Back here at Rogers Center, not a great day for the Blue Jays with the second straight game. They take the lead to the eighth. For the second straight game, they lose to the Baltimore Orioles. This time, 6-4. Yesterday, 7-5. The Jays have four blown saves in the first eight games this season, and yet they're still a 4-4 ball club. They would not be 8-0 without any of the blown saves. Quick look at the scoreboard here before we say goodnight to the network. The Boston Red Sox beat up the Tampa Bay Rays 13-5. David Ortiz drove in five runs while the Angels beat the Yankees 7-1. That means that the Baltimore Orioles are alone in first in the AL East, a game ahead of the Jays, Yankees, and Rays. Texas beat Minnesota 6-2. White Sox over Detroit 5-1. It's 0-0 Cleveland and Kansas City in the second inning. National League, St. Louis took down the Cubs 5-1. Mets over the Phillies 5-0. Washington beat the Reds 4-1. The Blue Jays will try to beat back the Baltimore Brooms tomorrow afternoon. We're on at 12:30 Eastern for a 107 first pitch. Kyle Drabek against lefty Brian Mattis. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. After the game, Sergio Santos activated, Aaron Laffey sent down. For Jerry Howard, Alan Ashby, Tom Young, Dylan Brown, Derek Brandeo, Joseph Chilia, I'm Mike Wilner. Good evening from Toronto.
Dig even deeper into the game.
Strike three call.
Check out Ricky Romero on Twitter.
Strike him out.
At Ricky Rowe 24. Blue Jays baseball continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Here it comes. Fastball belted to right field. Back for it is Bautista. He turns. It's gone. Wilson Betemeade has indeed atoned for his error, leading to two unearned runs. And he has tied this game here in the eighth inning at four with a home run.
With two out and nobody on, off of Casey Jansen. For Jansen, his first blown save of the season. He joins Darren Oliver, who already has one, and Sergio Santos, who has two, and just did some throwing on the side with Bruce Walton in left field. So Santos is here. He will be activated before the game tomorrow. And as we just mentioned, as we let the network go there, Evan Crawford gets to stay. Aaron Laffey has been optioned out, and Laffey, who was signed to a minor league contract, did have an option left. Might have two. I think he has one. And he was sent out. The Blue Jays didn't have to put him through waivers or anything like that. He goes back to Vegas to start. Starting pitching has not been an issue for the Blue Jays. Henderson Alvarez was terrific today. One bad pitch, and it was hit out by Chris Davis in the fourth inning. And even though he looked like he didn't have his command and his control, still 97 pitches over seven innings, one walk, though he did hit a couple of guys in his final start as a 21-year-old. Left as the pitcher of record to win it, just like he did in his last start, the home opener against the Boston Red Sox, and a blown save behind him prevents that from happening. This is the Extendo Blue Jays talk at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590, taking it to 8 o'clock Eastern Time here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet590.ca. Well, let's get back to the phones. Tom is in Ajax. Welcome to the Extendo.
Thanks, Mike. I'll try to go through this pretty quickly. I'll call this my good, bad, and ugly from this game.
All right.
Good, I'm going to say Kelly Johnson and another home run. I'm really impressed with him. As well, Colby Rasmus taking away another hit. And he's starting to look like he's really starting to become a better hitter. And I wouldn't be surprised to see up around 300 when the season ends. I think he's a great young player. To get into that, I think this problem of giving up home runs is getting really concerning to me with the starters and the relievers combined. It's just too many home runs. We heard John Farrell talk about it. I think he kind of softened it. But I think that whatever it is, location or something, I don't think you can blame it on Rogers Center, but something that definitely needs corrected. And by my count, Mike, I mean, you can help me with this. I counted, I think, four times the Blue Jays had 3-0 counts in this game, and they came away with no guys on base. That's got to improve. They could have had Hamill on the ropes in the game. I said that had a good game. John throw the home run.
I'm sorry, your phone's just not good enough. We were trying our best to keep you around, but sorry, Tom. If I can try to get to all the points that I think I understood, you're saying that you're concerned about the number of home runs that the Blue Jays have given up. The number is 12 through the first 8 games of the season, which is high. It should be noted that the number was 6 through the first 6 games of the season, and there's no question that the ball has been flying out of here the last couple of days. So I don't know if John Farrell is wrong to say it's flying out of here the last couple of days, because it really does seem to be. So again, it's more the home runs over the last 2 games that you should be concerned about, rather than the home runs in a vacuum, because 6-6 games in the overall is not that bad. The 3-0 stuff, I remember Johnson getting ahead 3-0 in the second inning and then winding up striking out looking. I don't recall. Brett Laurie got ahead 3-0, I think. Yeah, that was in the 8th, and wound up grounding out for the only time he got out at bat today, though he was thrown out twice on the bases. Look, you're 3-0, you're taking. Laurie did, Johnson didn't. He had the green light, 3-0, and he missed. And then he went for a high fastball that was probably ball 4 on the next pitch. But when you're 3-0 and you swing and miss, or you take a strike, then all of a sudden, pitcher's right back in the count. And getting ahead 3-0 is certainly no guarantee of reaching base, though you're always in a hitter's count from that point. I don't think you can look at, you know, it's baseball. You can't look at any one game and any 3 or 4 occurrences and say that this is a pattern. This happens, you know, you got to look at hundreds of these things before any sort of rhythm develops, if it's going to develop at all. Raptorized John, welcome to the Extendo Blue Jays Talk.
Yo, Miguel, how are you?
All right, sir, go ahead.
I think the manager said it best, you know, what was going on into our young man Brent's mind over there. I think that sometimes he might think that he has to win it. You know, he has to be the one. I don't know if that's arrogance, cockiness, or he doesn't have faith in the rest of his teammates, you know?
I don't think anybody's thinking that in the second inning. You know, if that happens in the 8th or 9th, hey, I got to do this myself, nobody else is going to do it, then yeah, you have a point. But in the second inning, I don't think he's trying to win a ball game.
But, you know, but then why do it?
Because he thought he could do it.
But you know, like you said, it's the lowest percentage play in baseball.
Yes, it is.
And you got Jose at bat. I know that he is struggling, but still, Jose has not been, if I remember from last year, Jose was not a real bad two-strike hitter. I mean, from plenty of times he kind of was 2 strikes to Jose, he came through. You know, I would, I don't know, just in my mind, you know, that's something you got to let go. It's like Babe Ruth trying to steal second base in the World Series and making the last out at second. You know?
No, that's a lot different.
Yeah,
you'll excuse me. That's a lot different.
But, you know, but it's still what was on Babe's mind. That's what I'm thinking. What was on this kid's mind, you know? I know people think they can do everything, but they don't try everything, right? You might think you can do it, but you don't try it.
Yeah, no, that's not unfair. But, you know, you're not going to try to steal second base unless you're absolute, or steal home, pardon me, unless you're absolutely sure that you can get that base. And so Brett Laurie, I'm sure, was absolutely sure that he could get that base, and he was wrong.
Have you heard him doing it in the minors? Has he ever done it in his career?
I have no idea if he's ever done it in his career. Last year, by the way, with 2 strikes, Jose Bautista hit .239.
Whoops.
And with an 0-2 count, hit .140.
Okay, but still, I take my chances with Jose, man, and trying to steal home.
Yeah, and a lot of people would. And you know what? And that certainly...
manager, too.
it was not a great decision. There's no question that it was not a great decision by Brett Laurie. But was it the dumbest thing in the world? No, it wasn't the dumbest thing in the world.
Why isn't it the dumbest thing in the world, Mike?
Because there are a lot dumber things.
Like what? You tell me when you got Jose Bautista, the leading home run hitter for the last 2 years at the plate, you know, in the second inning or whatever. You know, what is...
You're in the second inning of a ball game. I don't want to get into this too much, John, because I don't want people to think I think it was a good idea. Because I don't think it was a good idea.
Okay, just say it, Mike.
But it's not indefensible. I think that's what people want to say. Like what you're saying is, if that wasn't the dumbest thing in the world, what is? Well, obviously it's not the... I mean, we don't have to...
For you to tell me what is the dumbest thing you've ever seen on a baseball field. If somebody's going to do at a particular moment.
Oh, that's far from the dumbest thing I've ever seen on a baseball field. But and I can't think immediately.
I'm sorry, Mike.
All right, thank you. Appreciate the call. No, and again, I don't want to get into. See, my initial reaction is always to try to be rational, and it seems a lot of. Initial reaction out there is to try to move to excess to prove a point. And it's not necessary. Wasn't a good decision. Was it the worst decision Brett Laurie is ever going to make in his entire baseball career? No. Was it the dumbest thing he's ever done in his life? No. Wasn't a good decision. Can we leave it at that? You know, you're dealing with an 0-2 count. You're dealing with a guy who has two hits since opening day, who is not looking good at the plate right now, despite the fact that he's been the best hitter in baseball the last 2 years. You're dealing with an aggressive 22-year-old kid who thought he had a struggling pitcher dead to rights timed and that he could steal home. It is not the dumbest thing that's ever happened in the history of anything. It was not a good decision. What is a good decision? A Zach Cosby update and more Extendo Blue Jays talk on the other side from Rogers Center. This is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
And the 1-1 pitch. Breaking ball line to right center field. That's a base hit in front of Adam Jones. Edwin scores to third. Sprint Laurie, the throw into second. Rasmus back to first. He's given the Blue Jays a 4-3 lead.
The second RBI single for Colby Rasmus today out of his three hits. And that came in the sixth inning. And that was the blown save on the Orioles' part as the Blue Jays came back from 3-2 down with that two-run sixth inning. Eric Thames had the sacrifice fly earlier. But Casey Jansen gives up a two-out home run to Wilson Benamete in the top of the eighth inning. And a two-run homer by Nolan Reimold off of Francisco Cordero in the ninth. The Baltimore Orioles beat the Blue Jays 6-4. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Extendo Jays Talk. As pointed out by a couple of people on Twitter already, the extra inning decision in Cleveland of Rajay Davis not to run when he popped up a bunt. And was that on opening day? Yes, it was. In the 15th inning on opening day, Rajay popped up a bunt with runners at first and second and nobody out and didn't run. That was a lot dumber than Brett Laurie trying to steal home today. And Davis is forgiven. He's been a big part of a couple of the Blue Jays' wins so far this year. They are 4-4, despite the fact that they've already blown four saves in only eight games. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Extendo Blue Jays Talk, taking you all the way to 8 o'clock Eastern Time when Roger Lajoie will take over and probably talk about hockey or something. But we're going to talk about baseball for a while. Jamie is in Toronto. Jamie, welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call. Just one quick comment. I think one of the dumbest plays was Encarnacion not running it when he bunted to Alex Rodriguez last year.
That was last year, yes. Same basic thing as the Rajay, yes. There are a lot dumber things that have happened. We don't have to come up with more.
I agree. Sorry, Mom. I just wanted to come up and talk about J.P. Arencibia. I think his defensive play has been coming really great. He's doing really well compared to last year. But his hitting, I thought he'd be able to bring up his average. I think he had, a 200 average last year, and now it's below 100 this year. I don't know what's going to happen with his hitting. I hope it becomes a lot better. What do you think is going to happen?
J.P. Arencibia has hit everywhere he's played. He's hit with, sometimes he's had a hard time adjusting to a level. His first year in Las Vegas was not good. Second year in Las Vegas, he was the MVP in AAA. He is a career 275 hitter as a minor pro. Last year, he hit 219 as a young catcher, but set the Blue Jays' single-season record in home runs for catchers. JP is having a terrible time of it at the plate so far this year. 2 for 28, I think, after the 0 for 4 today. Hit into a double play in the ninth inning, which is no fun at all. The 2 for 28. And yet the Blue Jays have 4 wins so far in 8 games, and Arencibia is directly responsible for one of them with his bat, with a 3-run homer in the 16th inning on opening day. This is not fun to watch, but this is part of the deal. And a 300 hitter doesn't get 3 hits in every 10 at-bats. A 250 hitter doesn't get 5 hits in every 20 at-bats. Guys go through it sometimes. And right now, J.P. Arencibia is going through it. And we have seen power from him. We have seen him be able to hit for average in the past. Though, again, you're right, not at this level. But I think the worst time to look at a guy and wonder about him is when he's going just about as badly as he can go.
Just one more thing, if you don't mind me coming up with something else. Rajay Davis came in and played defensively for Eric Thames. I thought maybe it might have been a good idea to keep Eric Thames in for his bat. But then again, obviously he didn't think he was going to hit a 2-run home run and then we'd be down. But wouldn't it have been a better idea to keep him in so we can have his bat? He has a stronger bat, I think, than Rajay Davis does. Maybe not as much speed, but...
Well, here's the thing, and here's the issue, and thanks for the call, Jamie. And it's an important issue. When the Blue Jays have the lead late in the game, 7th, 8th inning, Rajay Davis has come in for defense for Eric Thames, which he should because he's a much better defensive outfielder than Eric Thames, and the Blue Jays have the lead. You're not expecting the blown save. And that's what's happened a lot of the time. And that's put the Blue Jays in the position where they could have used Thames' bat because the lead's gone now, and instead you have Davis. And with the lead gone, there have been opportunities where, man, Rajay would have looked great as a pinch runner there, but he's already in the game for defense. It all comes down to the blown saves. If the bullpen gets the job done, then there's no issue. But it does make for a bit of a roster problem. Not a problem. But, you'd love to have 2 Davises. The way around it, and I don't want to be picking on Eric Thames here, he was 1 for 2 today, and he doubled, and he scored a run, and he drove a run in. And early on in the season, he's 6 for 24. He's hitting .250. The way around it is to have Travis Snider here playing left field because Snider doesn't have to be replaced defensively, which leaves you to have Davis always as your pinch runner guy in the 8th and 9th when you need one run really badly. And it allows you to keep the bat in. And I wonder if the Blue Jays aren't starting to see that maybe they're better off that way because Snyder's not someone who has to be replaced defensively. And Snider and Thames apparently are pretty close offensively. Snider's lighting it up in AAA. But again, it's Las Vegas. George is in Thornhill. George.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
So I'm not going to beat the Batista thing to death. Rookie mistake, let's leave it at that. But I'll tell you my concern, and the last caller sort of segued me into it. Both Rajay Davis up in the 8th inning with Encarnacion on, and then Arencibia up in the 9th inning. if you're not going to pinch hit for Aaron Civiel when he's hitting 074, and I understand he's a home run threat, and you're going to have Rajay in there for Thames, then you've got to do something to help him. You've got to start some runners. You've got to stay out of that double play in the ninth inning. I'm not sure if the runner was, if the guy was playing behind Rasmus or not in the ninth, but you've got to.
No, he wasn't. There. If he was, Rasmus would have had second base.
But the thing is, you know, Rasmus had already stolen one base. At least get Johnson throwing over. He probably had to be thinking about himself when he dropped that ball to begin with, you know. So I just think you got to start a few more runners. And it's the one thing I'm noticing with Farrell. He's not doing as much as I'd like. I have no complaints. You know, we're 4-4. You know, the irony is, if we would have won this game 4-3 today, all the calls, besides the Batista thing, would be coming about what a great play Encarnacion made in the, I think it was in the sixth inning or seventh inning, when he tagged up and went first to second on that fly ball. And they were talking about it on the TV, about how the Jays were working at that throughout spring training.
Yep.
And had they not been doing that, there's no way he would have made that play, you know. So, I mean, overall, you know, I don't think we should be better than a 4-4 team right now. You know, we came back twice in Cleveland. We blew a couple here, you know. But my biggest concern right now is our offense is not playing the way that we expected our offense to go. And maybe if we, you know, start a few more runners here and there, maybe you can stay out of some double plays, do a few hit and runs, run and hits, whatever. Then, you know, maybe you can get the offense going in a different way.
I kind of think that, for me, that's a little simplistic. I think that, you know, you're not expecting a guy to hit into a double play. You also don't want to have a runner eliminated with a caught stealing, especially in the ninth inning when you have the tying run at the plate. I know he was eliminated on the double play. But if he gets thrown out, and Matt Wieters is a very good throwing catcher, Rasmus had already stolen a base. It's true, but he stole a base without a throw because there was a runner on third. You know, Rasmus stole a base. Lurie got thrown out trying to steal second in addition to the steal of home. So they're running. I wouldn't have sent Edwin in the eighth inning against Matt Wieters at all. I think that when you're trying to steal bases and you're trying to make things happen, you kind of have to pick your spots. And to me, if Rasmus can get to second in the ninth inning, let him take it. But Johnson holds runners reasonably well, and Wieters has a pretty good arm. And I don't want that guy getting thrown out so that I no longer have the tying run at the plate. It's a tough call one way or the other. But that's where I'm sitting. If it's Davis, if it's Lurie, those are the guys that I would be very comfortable sending in that situation. And Rasmus and Kelly Johnson are probably next on the list. But you got to know that you're going to get it if you're stealing in the ninth inning with a tying run at the plate. Thanks, George. I want to see how many we can get in before the top of the hour. Miles is in Toronto. Hello, Miles.
Hi. I was really interested in how the manager was going to react to Lurie's play. And because, you know, you talk about it being a very talented young team. They obviously need to be supported and also need to be controlled. And I thought that he couldn't have reacted better. He said what he did was wrong. He said he was allowed to do it. I'm sure it's something they're going to have a little talk about. And I think that's the type of guy you want running a team like this. So it's, I thought it was quite a comment on the manager, because I'm sure he's under a little heat that they're 500 because everybody was so hyped up. But he still controlled himself. He rationally handled the situation. And he didn't throw the guy under the bus, which I thought was great.
No, he said he made a mistake, and he didn't bury him. You're right. And Brett Lurie, by the way, is Mike Cormack from Sportsnet, is just tweeting. They just spoke to Lurie, and he said all the right things, apparently, including you never want to take the bat out of Jose's hands. So Lurie was contrite and also said all the right things.
That's what you want in a team that's building. Anything that's building. I thought it was good. Anyway, have a great night.
All right, thank you. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Thomas in Toronto. Thomas.
Hey, Mike. I just wanted to say quickly, I just want to see this young team exhibit a little bit more trust in their teammates, because it hasn't been shown that they don't trust their teammates. But in a situation where Lurie's at third and Bautista's at the plate, I want to see him trust Bautista. And most of all, I want to see them trust the leadership in their manager. The other day, you know, you saw J.P. Arencibia to go for an ill-advised bunt, and today you see Brett Lurie trying to steal home plate. These are young guys; they're up and coming. They have a lot of future and high ceiling. I just want to see them exhibit a little bit more trust in who's managing the game.
Okay. Thanks for the call. I don't know that that Laurie trying to steal home means he doesn't trust John Farrell. I don't know that J.Pierre and Sebia trying to drop down a bunt in the 16th inning of a tie game shows a lack of trust in the manager, though I can see how you would think that with that, that, oh, he's going out and doing this on his own. I don't think there's an issue with the Blue Jays and the way they feel about John Farrell. Jason in Minden, welcome to the Extendoness.
Hey. Hey, Mike.
Go ahead.
I just want to say I don't care about the Laurie play. I think it was a good aggressive play. I think the offense is fine. I'm worried about this bullpen. I think it's no better than last year at all, and I'm a little bit annoyed about how everybody said that Anthopoulos has gone out and made this bullpen deeper, and that pretty much all their losses has been blown by these new guys that he's gone out and acquired.
With one exception, are you aware of what these relievers have done previously in their career?
Well, I'm absolutely aware, but I believe that I think they're a little bit older than they used to be, and.
Well, everybody's older than they used to be.
What's that?
There's nobody who isn't older than he used to be.
Oh, absolutely. But, I mean, why go out? I mean, he gambled with John Rauch and Francisco last year. They were out of their
Not prime nearly as accomplished as any of the people that were brought over this year.
And how are they doing this year? I mean, they've blown three at least. Of their,
four. Four. They've blown
or maybe
four.
Of what
yeah.
they could have won.
Three that they could have won. Four. They've blown four saves. One has resulted in a loss. Jason, thank you for the panic call. There is no way to look objectively at this bullpen and say it's not better than the bullpen of last year. There just isn't. I understand what's gone on in the first eight games, and it's frustrating. It really, and it shouldn't be happening. And it is, you know what? It's ridiculous. The Blue Jays had 25 blown saves last year. The major league lead was 26. They're on pace for 81 this year. It's insane. And you should be upset and you should be frustrated. But you cannot objectively look at this group and say it's not as good as the one last year. It's not better than the one last year. And it's not one of the best groups they've had in a long time. Steve in Toronto. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Mike. I'd hate to imagine this call-in show if they're anywhere close to 81 blown saves. Oh, my God. you'd surely earn your money then. Listen, we're eight games into this thing, for crying out loud. The last two blown saves have been by one swing of the bat. I mean, these other guys are going to hit home runs. I mean, they're all major league players. Let's get that through our heads. I mean, Larry, I'd rather them see this aggressiveness and get this silly stuff out of their minds now in the first 10, 15, 20 games, as opposed to, you know, game 145 through 160 when they're four games ahead in a spot and then they do this kind of silly stuff and lose a spot based on being too aggressive. So I like this stuff early to see if they can do it, if they can give themselves the confidence to continue with it. If you can't, slow it up for a while. I mean, he's 22 years old. He tried something. He missed it. If he had scored that run, he'd be like a genius and to be completely different top people calling different topics.
Yep.
I mean, it's eight games in. They're 4-4. They're right in the middle with everybody else. It could have been a lot worse than this. I can't believe we're calling in saying this kind of stuff eight games in. We got to call in and talk about guys like Rasmus. I mean, Colby's cash. He signed this deal with the dealership with Colby's cash. This guy's playing like cash right now. He's playing amazing. I mean, you're calling in throwing Laurie under the bus for a silly mistake. These guys listen to these shows. Where is their confidence going to be when they make one tiny mistake and every single person in this city is calling and throwing them under the bus? I mean, let's get real fans. This is a good team this year. It's going to be fun. The attendance is up. Let's continue that instead of all this negativity. That's all I got to say, Mike. I'm sorry to vent on your show, but that's what I do.
I appreciate it, Steve. It's a good vent. I'm happy to have people vent on the program. As long as they do it and they make sense while they're doing it. And it doesn't have to be a vent about people being too negative either. Though it's well taken. I don't know how many of them listen to this show. I don't think too many of the Blue Jays, if any, actually listen to the program. Nor do I think that their confidence is affected by fans getting upset at them when they lose a ball game. But I do think that it's a lot more fun to be positive about a thing than negative, and especially when it feels like, as I've heard from so many people, things are going so badly, and yet they're 4-4. Now, how bad do things actually have to be doing if you have a losing record? Blue Jays are hoping they don't find out tomorrow. We will bring you all the action starting at 12:30, 107 first pitch. Kyle Drabek and Brian Mattis as the Jays try to avoid the sweep. Thanks to everyone for listening. Have a great night. See you tomorrow.